897.
Designate and assign the Cary Boulevard property from the Portland Water Bureau to the Portland Housing Bureau for development as affordable housing.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. The Portland Water Bureau has determined that it no longer has use for about 3 acres of Water Bureau property located in the University Park neighborhood and has, subject to our surplus property policy, offered it to other city bureaus. The Portland Housing Bureau has expressed an interest and intent to purchase the property at fair market value. Today, we have the Water Bureau and Housing Bureau here to give a brief presentation. We're joined by Mike Stewart, the director of the Water Bureau, and Shannon Callahan, who is director of the Portland Housing Bureau. And I'll turn it over as soon as Carla gets our PowerPoint ready. Carla, I don't know how you manage all these presentations.
Not well, apparently.
Oh, no. Imagine where we'd be without you.
Better than average. Let's put it that way.
Imagine where we'd be without you.
So I thought I might just begin.
Go ahead, Mike.
My name is Mike Stewart. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau, and I am joined by Shannon Callahan.
Is your mic on? Yeah, it is. That's weird. Okay.
I'm joined by Shannon Callahan, who's the director of the Portland Housing Bureau, and my able assistant over there wrestling the slides with Carla. We thought we might bring a good news story to council.
We have been examining our property inventory and looking for pieces of property that we could free up for the community or for other uses within the city. One of those pieces of property is what we call the Cary Boulevard property. Which you see up there. It's way, way up there in North Portland, adjacent to the big railroad cut where BNSF runs 34 trains a day. We bought the property between 1970 and 1973. For those of you who are interested, you will note that was pre all of the environmental laws that we deal with these days. And the city was a different place at that time. We bought the property to put tanks because at that time people were anticipating much greater water use than we see today. The combination of conservation, ethic, and changes in plumbing fixtures and so on, we have continually used less and less water. So we have no need for tanks there. So since that time, those 3 acres have lined fallow. They are mowed, I think, by Parks Bureau. We pay Parks Bureau to mow it because they have all these cool mowers that run around, fairly good-sized mowers. It's been mowed by the Parks Bureau and has lied unused. So we decided that we wanted to dispose of that property. And we've gone through the city's ordinance process. Pre-ordinance process, I guess, would be a better way to say it. And we have floated the piece of property to other bureaus. And Shannon's bureau raised their hand and said that might be a good place to put housing. So what we've done over the preceding months is we've done an appraisal of the property. That's how we value our property. And we have agreed that the transfer price between us and the Housing Bureau is $3.35 million, I think. And that's kind of where we are at today. Another kind of wonky thing, the actual ownership of the property does not change. The city of Portland owns all the property. In some measure, this is an accounting exercise that keeps the funds straight between the general fund and a utility fund. So having said that, I'll now turn this over to Shannon, who can talk about what they propose to do with it.
Thank you, Mike. First of all, I'd like to just thank the Water Bureau and Director Sturr for his team's cooperation in this property transfer. This parcel is ideal for new home ownership opportunities for Portland families. As you are aware, oh, these are old slides. Oh, interesting. Okay. The slides may not match my talking point. So, as you are aware, home ownership costs have increased dramatically over the last 7 years, leaving many moderate income families with very few options in the city. Although the Housing Bureau spends the majority of our development funds on rental housing, our work to create new homeownership opportunities is a key part of our mission to stabilize families with long-term housing options. We are committed to developing this parcel for homeownership. We are committed to utilizing the North and Northeast neighborhood strategy as developed by and with the community in 2014. And we are in conversations with Prosper Portland about adding this parcel to the interstate urban renewal area, and we would plan to use renewal funds to complete the purchase of the parcel. Our current estimate for the number of homes that we can create on this parcel is between 50 and 70. We have made a commitment to this council and to the University Park Neighborhood Association to preserve the existing heritage tree on the property and look forward to conversations with the neighborhood about the ultimate development. And we've also committed to the Neighborhood Association that they would have a representative on the selection committee for the actual developer of this property, which is to be sometime in the future. We are also in conversations, hopefully with our sister bureau at Parks to maintain the maintenance agreement, but otherwise we will make sure to maintain the property in the condition it has been. And we are engaging in security contracts as the neighborhood has expressed some interest in making sure that we have patrols on the property on a regular basis. So that is in sum our plans and our commitment to the neighborhood. And thank you. Commissioner Fritz?
Is this the property that we changed to R2 in the comprehensive plan?
Yes.
So what's the thinking as far as what kind of home ownership opportunities would be there, since that's usually a multifamily dwelling zone?
It's very early. We don't have conceptual plans. Typically, we bring an actual development partner on help us design and work on the process with the community. Our thinking is that it would be either single family or potentially attached housing. We would not be looking at multifamily, you know, five-story development of that type. We're looking for more of your single family feel or attached housing.
Yeah, it's a bit interesting. You could do it with a land trust, couldn't you, so that it wouldn't need to be subdivided, but you could provide home ownership without selling the land underneath, which
yes.
would maintain the affordability for a long time.
Yes.
Very interesting possibility.
I think that concludes our formal presentation.
The lead up to this council item has involved lots of staff work and lots of technical work and is fairly complicated. The presentation is very straightforward. We appreciate the constructive conversations with the Neighborhood Association. And Tom Karwacki is here. I don't know whether he's signed up to testify, but I hope so. And I'll have a few remarks in my closing remarks about why I think this is a milestone.
Great. Thank you. Public testimony.
Yes, we have 6 people signed up. The first 3 are Sherry Dolan, James White, and Tom Karwacki.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you. My name is Sherry Dolan, and I live at 6702 North Syracuse. I've lived there for 40 years, and I'm going to read through this quickly, but then I have a couple more things that I would like to say. I understand that the Cary Boulevard property is surplus property to all of you, but that surplus property has been the land that I look out at every morning and every evening. It has been my neighbor on two sides for 40 years. For the first 20 years, I called the Water Bureau every year asking when they're going to build the water towers. Then we were told that they might, that the ground was unstable, not that it wasn't necessary. 20 years ago, we were told that they took samples and it was unstable. So they couldn't put a water tower there, so they might use it for a maintenance yard. In recent years, we heard through the Neighborhood Association that it would become houses. It would have been better to hear this from the city, but we've received nothing directly from the city regarding any of the changes. So I'm asking that the neighbors be better informed, and not just through the Neighborhood Association. We have addresses. You have our addresses. We pay our bills. Inform and include us in the decisions concerning our neighborhood. Protect the heritage tree, and many of the other 20 different or more species of trees. We have returning falcons. This year they had two babies they raised. In closing, please remember that the University Park neighborhood has mostly households that have two working adults, and our houses represent the biggest investments we own. I hope that this council makes decisions that value the existing residents' quality of life and benefit all the citizens of Portland. On the way over, I had two other thoughts. The map behind you shows perfectly that North Portland is, in fact, a peninsula. There are only three ways onto the peninsula from East County. We have Columbia Boulevard, we have Lombard, and we have Willamette Boulevard. Those arterials are getting clogged with all of the infill and construction that's going on. I understand that we need more housing. I have not said anything against it. I just believe that somebody needs to be aware that we need more arterial roads for vehicles, not just bike lanes, vehicles. We also I have concerns that the Bureau of Housing is going to have ownership of the property, because I've seen what they've done with the property on Lombard at 7300, where they took over the parole office and now it's a housing place where they keep stuff, and it's not kept up very well. So I am concerned that we have the same level of response and upkeep on the property. We have had fires where we've had to leave our homes before because of the railroad cut, which we all understand. But
thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you. Good
morning. Good afternoon. My name is James White. I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you said to our president a little while back in retort. I appreciate the commissioners here. I'm a native Oregonian. I'm a Portlander. I went to Grant High School. I lived in Northeast Portland all my life. I've lived 23 years in St. John's. I just retired as a 27-year teacher in Lake Oswego School District. I know what expectations are. I know how to reach expectations. My expectation with this council is pretty simple. I have numerously called the Water Bureau, called the railroad, called the police for the transients and everything down the road. I understand there's homeless everywhere. But there's a drug epidemic, and what my concern is, if they sell this land, I want to make sure that it is maintained by the Housing Bureau, just like it has been the Water Bureau, that the grasses will be cut, that there will be security around, and that we can have a little more insight into North Portland, which is growing, burgeoning, and on the possibility of being one of the most robust communities around, as long as we feed it. I'm here today. I'm very nervous, and usually I don't get nervous in front of people. I'm pretty articulate, but today I'm here to stand behind my neighbor here. I have constantly, my wife says, you can't go out in the street anymore and run people down for doing the wrong things. I get it, but what I don't get is what's going on with lack of, shall I say, clarity. I mean, we've been wrestling with this issue for a long period of time. I know we're going to need to build. I know Portland's growing. I know the medium price houses are just escalating. But we've got to think really clearly and slowly where we build here, and are we going to maintain the services we need around that so that it can be a viable, productive community for the years to come. I was a little long and loquacious there. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, it's excellent testimony, and I'm glad you're here to give that testimony with both the Water and the Housing Bureau leadership here to hear your testimony.
Thank you, Mayor.
It's good testimony. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to see you.
My name is Tom Karwacki, Land Use Chair of the University Park Neighborhood Association with our two members here. And first of all, we have a long history with this land, over 35 years since the Neighborhood Association was started. We've always promoted that this be a park, if possible, and we've advocated for that because it would be the only park next to a mainline railroad in the city. However, the decision has been made by the council that it be housing, an affordable housing, and we want to thank Shannon and the Bureau, the Portland Housing Bureau, on what they've tried to do, and we look forward to cooperating and working with them to make this a really model facility development. What we are concerned, and we're thankful that we'll have a representation on that. We hope that the council does direct them to make sure that they include us and other members of the community, because there are many other members besides just the Neighborhood Association. So finally, in addition to that, we just wanted to say that the issues of all of this, we've always had campers, and the written comments I've made are a little more articulate, but we've always had campers, but what we really are asking for, we have a spring water corridor situation here. This Sunday, I counted 100 campers on this parcel. 100, okay? At this point, and this is only one part of a 10-mile or 7-mile corridor. So I'm just saying that this is an opportunity. In our testimony, we suggest this. Create a task force, Mayor, with all of the different bureaus and the property owners and the neighborhood and the University of Portland and the Multnomah County Treatment or Health Department, the police, the fire, everyone involved, and let's build a community-based effort to really, including the members, the people who are here, they're our neighbors. Let's make sure that we can create a successful situation for all of them. We would rather not have a full Sweetwater corridor situation. So I really look forward to us including all of the people. We could create a really nice community-based effort here. And that's what we're suggesting. And we look forward to working with the Portland Housing Bureau in the future.
Good vision. I appreciate it. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Mr. Kowalki, thank you for sending in your testimony ahead of time. That was very helpful. You had asked for potentially an amendment to say that the Housing Bureau will work with the Neighborhood Association and the neighbors, and also another one for the maintenance. Having heard it stated on the record by the housing director, is that adequate for you?
I think, okay, I have no offense to anyone here. I think that's a great statement, but I do really think that in the future it is helpful because, you know, administrations change, directorates change. It may be a wise thing to occasionally include the neighborhood. We've heard they didn't get notified. As part of the surplus property stuff, I talked about how much you were going to put a sign when you're going to change and to do developments and so forth. And what we've got here is there's been actually no notice to the community directly. I have been involved. I've followed this stuff. Some other people have. They didn't know what it meant to be a change in a zoning, et cetera. So the issue is that the community has not been notified, really, that this is happening. We're okay with it. We can accept that, but we would hope that there was better communication. I would hope that a directive in some sort of writing maybe would be helpful. I understand that it may not be possible. This is really great assurances. I take her at her word. But I'm just trying to say is that what happens when she leaves? And that's a concern to the neighborhood. This is a piece of land that could be in a land bank for some time. It's been in the city's possession for a long time. And prior to that, it was in the railroad's possession. And so the situation is that, you know, who knew what the city was thinking 30 or 50 years ago when it bought this land? The point is that it could be in the land trust for many years. It could be just a year or two. That's what the concern of writing and inclusion is, in writing.
It helps to include maps. Maps really show us where we're at.
Thank you very much,
though.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Next three, please, Carla.
The last three who signed up are Diane Lynn, Steve Mezzanetti, and Charles Bertrain Johnson.
All right. Welcome. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council. My name is Diane Lynn. I'm Executive Director of Proud Ground. We create permanently affordable homeownership opportunities for working families with a focus on closing the minority home ownership gap, especially in neighborhoods adversely affected by gentrification. As mentioned by Commissioner Fish, we operate using the community land trust model, and I do think this property has a great amount of potential for that if that's the direction it goes. We are clearly here in support of PHB's purchase of the Water Bureau surplus land at Carey Street. This is a really important example of how we can leverage publicly owned land to concretely address the affordable housing crisis we face in the city. And I think this could be a step. I think Commissioner Fish used an important word that this could actually trigger more transfers just like this. This site in particular is located in the heart of a very vibrant community. You've heard from the people that live right there, and there's many others. I live and work right in the area. It has many amenities nearby that would serve families particularly well. And in home ownership, as you know, and you'll hear from my colleague, Steve Mezzanetti, it's a very stabilizing kind of housing. And we think that this site would really offer up some wonderful development opportunities, options, and we strongly support making it available for our desperately needed home ownership units in North and Northeast Portland. Through effective partnerships, mixed-income communities can be built where children and their parents, individuals, and families can live and thrive. We support the transfer of this land to the Portland Housing Bureau, and I wanted to mention quickly that there's, again, this amenities right nearby. There's two parks within two and 10 blocks, Fred Meyer's down the street, New Seasons. There's bike trails and hiking trails. The cut of the canyon is actually a good, I think, neighbor to a wonderful homeownership development. And we do really look forward to working very closely, if we are involved going forward on this project, with the neighborhood and making sure that it fits into the character and the nature of the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Mayor Wheeler, City Council, thank you for your steadfast support of creating a city where people of all incomes can live. I'm Steve Mezzanetti. I'm the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, Portland Metro East. And to start, I just saw a report through the through the United Way that they just published. And it was a study that showed the change of affordability in communities across the country. And for Multnomah County, I was surprised to see that for households living below the poverty line, there was actually a decrease in the last 6 years from 51,000 to 41,000. So that's good news. We're having fewer families that are living below the poverty line. But the number of households in our city, or our county rather, who are working households that do not earn enough to afford basic life necessities, food, transportation, and housing, almost doubled from 42,000 households to 80,000 households. And I really believe that that's our housing crisis, and it's one of the key contributors to our homelessness crisis, to our hunger crisis, to our equity crisis. Habitat for Humanity from 1990 to 2002 built about 110 houses in North and Northeast Portland. These were homes were sold to households with an average income of 40% of the median income, and over 80% of them were households of color. And almost all of these households continue to be successful in owning and occupying these homes. And we've seen again and again the stability that comes from home ownership. In fact, we did a study of the 300 first households we sold homes to in Portland, and 92% of children that grow up in a Habitat home graduate. And that's a 17% higher than the city at graduation rate. We also learned from families that 79% of households that had a family member with a respiratory illness no longer reported having symptoms once they moved into their healthy home. So homeownership is stabilizing, and it's also one of the greatest and most effective anti-displacement strategies. This 3-acre parcel of R2 zone property on Cary Boulevard is a great fit for homeownership and is an excellent match for the desires of households that have been displaced from this community. And we've been working with these households for the past few years. There's a tremendous lack of this sort of middle zoning in the city that meets the needs of larger families where either single-family homes or townhome-style homes can be built, as well as for multi-generational households. It is time to end the growing racial disparity between those who own property and have the power and the decision-making that comes with it and those who don't. So I do also encourage you to support the transfer of this property to the Housing Bureau and dedicate it to providing homeownership opportunities. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Commissioner Fish.
There's a big conversation going on in our community about the benefits of home ownership in terms of wealth creation. But the truth is that in order to get families below 50% of median family income into an affordable home, we have to use models like land trust models, Habitat, and others, which limit the amount of equity that a family can actually accrue over the life. With respect to your model and your model with Habitat, over the life of someone's ownership of a Habitat home, how much equity can they accrue?
Yeah, actually, Habitat for Humanity has recently committed to moving to a permanent affordability model from what we currently have as a shared appreciation model. And the reason for that is all the national studies show that the benefits that come from homeownership come from the stability,
right,
the no more rent increases, and the built-in savings account, and not necessarily that equity in.
Well, that's an important. I'm glad you said that because there are some big cross currents in our community in this area.
Sure.
And frankly, another area that I worry about when the focus is excessively on wealth creation is that housing markets are prone to cycles. Mm-hmm. And today may be a good cycle. Tomorrow, someone may be underwater. We may be doing no favor to a struggling working class family to put them in a situation they can't be successful. Mm-hmm. So from my point of view, the model should be focused on housing stability and permanent affordability, not on picking winners and losers in the marketplace. And I know that's a controversial subject, but I think the wealth creation, frankly, is a better conversation in the area of how we assist small businesses and how we provide capital to people to chase their dreams. I think in the housing sector, it comes with more risk. And I think if I had to pick between permanent affordability and this idea of giving someone, you know, a piece of the pie, I'd opt for the permanent affordability because of all that you've just described in terms of the benefits of homeownership.
Commissioner Fish, if I could just add a quick couple of comments. For the targeted audience we serve, it's 60 to 80% of median income, and again, we're partnering up on the whole range, and we think mixed income communities are very important. If the family at 60 to 70% of median income, we bring an entire down payment to the table for them, removing that incredibly difficult barrier, then provide and make sure they have an affordable mortgage that stays within only 38% of their income, and in contrast to many other housing scenarios, that's way lower. And in the end, our studies show that in a 10-year window, people are generating as much as $72,000 a year, free and clear. They get every penny they put into their principal mortgage back out again, and an increase of 25% in our model over the course of time. That's in a 10-year window. It can be less if it's sold sooner, and much more if it's sold later. So we really want to make it clear that we actually want families to thrive financially also and be able to generate revenue into their own households, and at the same time be able to resell that very same home to the next income qualified family in perpetuity.
Well, there you go. But getting your down payment back when you sell is different than some of the expectations people have in this marketplace of reaping huge gains.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and we have to balance affordability and also some reasonable return. I think we have to have an honest conversation, though, about what affordable home ownership means, because there are growing voices around wanting to promote wealth creation. That's a very subjective term, mm-hmm. and it could mean many different things to different people. And I think, frankly, it puts some of these houses at risk if we go down certain paths.
I think we can achieve both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. It's good to have this robust discussion, but I think as we go forward, we want to make sure that when we look at the faces of the six testifiers and the presenters, that that we also get the input. And as Commissioner Fish has pointed out, different people have different ideas about retaining equity and wealth creation, but we want to hear the voices of the Portland African American Leadership Foundation, the Urban League, the NAACP, actual people of color, not just advocates that are looking to help them use their power to get into stable long-term housing.
Charles, you might have missed the earlier preamble, but the policy of the right of return that was specifically crafted so that African Americans could come back to northeast
Portland.
Yeah,
recall, when Saltzman had housing, I think we started that.
Well, that policy, if you listen to the presentation, applies to these homes.
Thank you.
So it's already baked in. The question now is who ends up developing the housing in concert with the city.
And
but the policy has been set.
And how do we get it done fast enough? I mean, Jimmy Carter's not going to live here forever. Jimmy Carter's not going to live forever, but Habitat Humanity's number one guy should come here. And all the Habitat Humanity homes I'm familiar with were standalone single-family housing, but it was great to hear that townhomes were mentioned because at the level of housing crisis we have at 60% MFI, 40, and zero, we also need density. We can't just build beautiful suburbs for a very elite screened few of specially qualified income participants. We need to think about density on this 3 acres so that we can have not just quality of life impact, but get as many people as qualified applicants as we can find into this great opportunity. So I look forward to this discussion. Obviously, this is something you shouldn't vote no on, but there's a lot of work to be done to make it happen. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you all. That concludes public testimony.
Yes.
Very good.
Mayor, I want to address one subject that came up.
Commissioner Fish.
So we had testimony from the Neighborhood Association and from some residents that there was not adequate posting of the site. So having been through three different rounds of this debate around surplus property, I'd like to respond to that quickly. The Water Bureau revisited its surplus property policies a number of years ago, and a triggering event was the sale of some property in Southwest Portland that actually had a water tank on it. And it went to a private developer. There was a lot of pushback. And what was clear to me at the time is our policies needed to be updated and they need to be more transparent. As part of the response of the Water Bureau, they came up with a model set of policies that said if the land is to be sold to a private party, there must be posting and notice so the community has a right to know and to be heard. The city then updated its overall surplus property policies and incorporated some of the best thinking of the Water Bureau, and that was then adopted by the council, and this predates this mayor and Commissioner Udaly. And so we now have a baseline surplus property policy. This is, in my judgment, a conspicuous success because this is, under the new policy, land being picked up by another city bureau and developed for a public purpose. However, there is a small glitch in our policy that you have identified, which is there is no requirement for a posting if the land is otherwise to be acquired by another city agency. In other words, if it stays within city ownership, which I can understand that, but from your point of view, there's a change of use. And since the posting would alert you that it could be a change of use from, say, what you once thought might be a Water Bureau use, to which you might have hoped at one point was a parks use, and now what you're hearing is... So, Mayor, I think we should take a look. It seems to me that the posting requirement should not be limited to only those situations where it is to be sold to a third party. I think the trigger should be a decision to put up property as surplus. I think we should probably revisit whether that should be posted across the city, and that would give the neighbors immediate notice as well as the neighborhood association. And the purpose of the posting was to give you a voice. And I'm not convinced as I listen to the testimony today that it makes a heck of a lot of difference whether it's being acquired by another bureau or by a private developer. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. I think that's something the city will take a look at and consider updating its policies.
Very good. Any further discussion? Carla, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly?
Aye.
Fritz?
This has the potential to be an absolutely wonderful project. I'm glad that you've been working with the Neighbourhood Association and will continue to do so. It works out at about $45,000 per home for a home ownership opportunity. Obviously, it's got to be built, but with our partners in the community, that'll be a wonderful thing to have happen, and I appreciate the work. Aye.
Fish?
You know, today has been a day in our agenda with a lot of positive news, and to me, this is a triple win if we get it right. It is an example of our new surplus property working better than our old policy, and it still, I think, needs to be updated. But having inherited the Bureau with an old policy that was, frankly, wholly lacking, this policy is much better and involves a lot of stakeholder input. So it's a win for a more transparent surplus property policy. It's a win for our ratepayers because they're getting fair market value for the dirt. And it's a win for between 50 and 70 families that are going to be able to afford to live in a beautiful neighborhood in North Portland sometime in the future. So I'm very pleased to support this. And since there are three bureaus that have been called out that are going to have ongoing roles, the Water Bureau, the Parks Bureau, and the Housing Bureau, those will now be led starting in September by Commissioners Fritz, Mayor Wheeler, and Commissioner Fish. So all three of us are on notice that you've raised concerns about the condition of the property prior to some decision made about development. And I thank you for raising that as well. Aye.
Wheeler.
Great collaboration, innovative solution, significant need. Thank you. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.